The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Marietta Hummel is with me now, though. She's the co-founder of ATX Kind. Marietta, you're welcome to the show. And thanks a million for taking the time to speak to us. There's this narrative that has emerged in the wake of kind of October 7th and the October 7th attacks and the ongoing war in Gaza, that there's been this huge increase in anti-Semitism. And, you know, we've talked about it in an Irish context. Oliver Sears has been a guest on The Hard Shoulder chatting to us in Dublin. Is that happening here? Is that reality? Has there been this massive increase?
I mean, I'd say it's partly a reality. You know, we have seen numbers increase since October 7th, but on a larger scale, I'd say it has been increasing for years. Anti-Semitism has been around for a long time. And over the past few years, we've seen it increase here in Texas. Here in Austin, we saw a huge rise, between 2018 and now. I think there's also part of the, what we're talking about, the rise right now, where we're really, you know, seeing it and saying it, is that more people may be reporting it. You know, that may be part of it. More people are talking about it. More people are identifying anti-Semitism because it's in the news, it's in the media, it's in the everyday conversation. But it's been around for a long time, and we've been fighting it here locally, you know, as a group since 2021 and much longer all over the world.
So what has caused the more recent, and I don't mean recent since October 7th, but I mean more recent over the last 5, 10, 15 years, what's caused that resurgence?
I mean, it's really hard to say. You know, I'm not I wouldn't say that I'm an expert. I haven't studied this, but more anecdotally, there's a lot of radicalization online. I think that plays a big part in it. There's also the lack of education. You know, I was brought up in the Netherlands, and I was raised with the history of the Holocaust, the history of anti-Semitism. And I would say I look at my son here, and he's not learning about that. He's not learning about what anti-Semitism means in the context of history, and what is anti-Semitism, and how can it play out in your everyday conversations. So I think that's part of it. It's this younger generation that doesn't have the education. And then the, you know, up and coming online radicalization, that's what happened to my synagogue here in Austin. It was set on fire by a college student 2.5 years ago who was radicalized online. So I think that plays a big part in it. And then also anti-Semitism, hate speech, it became mainstream in the last couple of years. And part of that has to do with that, you know, some of our leaders have started using anti-Semitic speech. And
without repercussions. Give me some examples of that type of speech. The kind of, in a way, the kind of the swastika daubed on the wall, while more shocking, is in a way, and maybe you disagree, is less insidious. It's the kind of softer stuff that kind of allows that to happen, or it creeps in. And
well,
maybe
that's
the kind of the speech you're talking about.
Yeah, it's very recognizable, right? You see a swastika and you say, that's Nazi symbol, it's anti-Semitic. But there are also these tropes that we talk about, and our group says it's everyday anti-Semitism. That doesn't sound very nice because we don't want to normalize it, but these are just things that are injected into everyday speech. So it's things like, you know, the Jews have all the power. The Jews have, they own corporate America. They own Hollywood. Here locally in Austin, we've seen it at city council meetings where there was a ceasefire resolution that some council members or people wanted to adopt. And when some refused, they were told, you are bought by Zionists. You are owned by the Jews. And, you know, it went from criticism on Israel, which I think in itself does not have to be anti-Semitic, to moving toward anti-Semitic tropes of you are owned by the Jews this, the Jews that. And I think when it's discussed in that way, and it's happening everywhere and more often, then we're fearing into anti-Semitic territory.
Isn't it amazing, and I mean amazing and kind of in a negative way, how kind of resilient the tropes are when it comes to anti-Semitism. So, you know, whether it is, again, about the Jews controlling things or about kind of George Soros or about world governments, I mean, they're remarkably similar to things about kind of Jews controlling things and having too much power and concentrating wealth that you would have heard in medieval Europe. You know, we don't talk about burning witches anymore. We don't kind of talk about bathing kind of Cathars in their own blood because they worship the wrong kind of Christian God. Yet, you know, we're still kind of repeating some of those anti-Semitic tropes.
Right, I think some
there's
of those
a remarkable
things,
attractiveness to them for some bizarre reason.
It's evergreen in a way that we don't like it to be. Well, I think some of those things you mentioned, they were waves, right? They were, you know, political waves or those were things that were being said over, you know, 100 years maybe at most. But I think anti-Semitism has been around for ages. And so it's always there. And I think it's you know, we are a small, you know, relatively small part of the population in the world, in the U.S., in Europe. And I think that there will always be ideas about Jews. And I think sometimes those ideas become a little bit more prevalent and are being shared by people and they become mainstream. Mm. And I think with anti-Semitism becoming mainstream, it's very dangerous. We've said it often here in Austin, when anti-Semitism is happening in a community, we should all be worried. Every minority group should be worried because it does signal that something is okay, that we're saying it's okay to call out, you know, one part of the population and say things about them that are rooted in hate speech.
To what extent does the online world play a part in terms of allowing people, you know, who subscribe to these views, find a kind of a ready-made community? I've mentioned on this show before a fellow when I was a young lad growing up in the town I'm from in Kilkenny used to hand out these flyers denying the Holocaust, and you know they were awful. But he was one guy, and he had no fellow travellers. This was kind of a solo run he was on. He could kind of be ignored to a degree. He was just this fella, just ignore that guy. If he was around today, he'd immediately have a ready-made community online.
Right, and I think we're seeing that even with flyers. So flyers have been dumped in cities across the country here in the U.S. I'm not sure if that's happening in Ireland as well. But just anti-Semitic flyers from neo-Nazi groups. It's been happening here in Austin for years now. And the way it's spreading, the way it's happening in more cities than one, the way people are organizing is online. So they talk about it online, they activate online. Well, that's something that we didn't have before. We had this online space where that could happen. And then we have our very own resident, Elon Musk, here in Austin, who has, you know, really opened the gateways for some of the speech on his platform, X. Because there's free speech. When you report a post, I reported a swastika yesterday, nothing happens. Mm. It doesn't matter because free speech is more important than calling out hate. And I think when that is allowed to happen, especially young people who are, you know, already maybe on the path to radicalization, who have some of these ideas, they're able to you know, go even further in that. And especially, I think really the danger is in organizing online, in spreading those ideas, and people who are tapping into youth who are online and ready to hear some of this.
And what is the solution to all of this? Or how do you start rowing back that tide?
I mean, I think if we had a solution, we would have probably implemented it, you know, centuries ago. I think education. I mean, right now, I would say education, both on the far left and on the far right. Because, for example, you can criticize the Israeli government without becoming anti-Semitic, without using some of these tropes, without saying things that are about Jews worldwide when it's really a government of one country that you're criticizing. So I think it's really about educating, about calling each other out. I think that's another very important point, is that we call it out in each other when we hear it and we're saying, okay, you're criticizing something politically, but now what you're saying, that's anti-Semitism, that's hate speech, and we can't have that. I think really keeping check on each other in the community, locally here in Austin, everywhere around the world, is very important. And then online, I hope that there can be more regulation on hate speech online, because that is where people radicalize. That is where the arsonist who set my own synagogue on fire 2.5 years ago, that's where he went.
That is a really terrifying vista, like the synagogue being set on fire. I mean, what fears have you, or what worries have you about this kind of continuing to spread unchecked?
I have very, very real fears that it turns into violence. We've seen that with shootings. We've seen that with, you know, mass. When there's hatred against Jews and it's just speech, it hurts. But I think the biggest danger of that is that it can incite some people who want violence, who want to set a synagogue on fire, who want to shoot people, who want to hurt Jews. It can make them radicalize and make them feel it's okay because more people are saying it. So now they can do it. And I think that's very dangerous. And we need to curb that. We need to stop that. And we need to call it out.
Marietta, listen, thanks a million for chatting to us. Such an important issue. Marietta Hummel is the co-founder of ATX Kind, based here in Austin, Texas.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.